Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Waiting Warriors podcast. It's been a while, but we are here to reconnect with you and continue our mission to share important military spouse stories and resources. As many of you know, it's been a challenging couple of years for me. Life took a very unexpected turn, and our son James was stillborn, and I had to take a step back to heal, grieve, and find my way through the storm. I am excited to bring this podcast back, and I have plans to make it even better than before. I had done a dozen or so interviews before we lost James, and since the guests and the content were so good, I can't not publish them. But for my mental health, I'm not going to edit them the same as I normally would. So please forgive any mistakes, any little weird things. But I am excited for you to hear these amazing military spouses. And then season two of the Waiting Warriors podcast will be coming shortly. Enjoy the interview. Hey, Waiting Warriors. Welcome to another week on the Waiting Warriors podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler. And this week we have an amazing guest. I'm super excited for this topic. Welcome to the show, Becca Brown.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. It's so funny because at the beginning, when I turn on the video, I was like, hi, nice to meet you. But Becca and I like stalk each other on Instagram.
Exactly. We're friends from afar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Becca really does produce a lot of good content. She works from home as a homeschool teacher and life coach, which is what I love to follow her because everybody needs some life coaching advice. Life coaching, it's like, do we need life? I guess, yeah, we do need coaching of our life. I don't know why that feels. It's like what we get from it, though, is like, do you know what I mean? No.
Yeah, I do. It just sounds awkward, but for sure. That's what it is. Yeah.
Cause I guess I just think of coach like my high school basketball coach.
Right.
And while he taught me good things of basketball, he also yelled a lot.
Right.
And you don't yell.
I don't usually do that to people too much, unless it's called for.
Yeah. You feel a little of like the different kind of coaches. And like all the different sports.
Yeah. But in the same way that like your basketball coach taught you how to be really good at basketball, a life coach just helps you be really good at life.
Oh, that's true.
That's what it is. That's
true. I can. Yeah. Okay. I finally worked through that. Cause like I've shared on Instagram, I've been partaking of the life coach world for the last few months and it has really helped me. But yeah, for some reason, I've been like hung up. I'm like, I don't know, but like coaches normally yell.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think I was a life coach probably for about 6 months before I really figured out how to talk about it in a way that I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I knew what I was doing, but like, how do we like
talk about
how do we talk about it? How we describe it? But that's totally it. Like your basketball coach will teach you how to shoot baskets and do really good things on the court. And a life coach can just help you do better things in your life.
Yeah. They're just much nicer. Anyways.
Usually.
Sometimes I feel bad for you listeners because I just have these random side notes. Hopefully you guys don't hate them too much. But Becca's husband is also in the Air Force. For all of you Air Force people, I mean, military to military, Waiting Warriors and the Waiting Warrior. And she has four kids. You homeschool all four kids?
No, I don't. My youngest is three. She goes to preschool four mornings a week, which is hallelujah. It's the most beautiful thing ever. And then I homeschool the three older ones.
Yeah. And then other question. I mean, this whole thing is questions. Why did I do that? That was
like the last. Just the one, Michelle.
The one question I have is, did you homeschool before COVID? COVID transformed.
It gave me the courage to try it. I had always wanted to, but I was never really brave enough. Mm-hmm. And there was never really a big enough reason to kind of push me. Cause like, it's a big ask, right? Like it's a huge change. I mourn a little bit when I think about those times when my beautiful children, whom I love very much, would just go off to school, and I would just so casually take them to the bus stop.
Sweet.
That was a nice time. But the homeschooling now, I mean, it's very hard.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad I'm doing it. And I actually am really grateful that we've had this chance to do it. And I may or may not continue. I don't know what will happen. But
because you're allowed to do that in life.
Exactly.
You don't have to make a decision. And it's not a forever thing.
Oh yeah, totally.
Anyways, we're not here to talk about homeschool, although that would be a very interesting topic.
I have a lot to say, but I don't know if it would be helpful.
But I brought Becca on to talk about service marriages, which when I say service marriages, I just like to use that term because we don't just have military here. We have a lot of military, but we also have law responders. We have law enforcement and first responders, and their marriages go through very, very similar things as ours do, other than a deployment. But
hard stuff.
Sometimes their husbands are in danger every single day. So it's very, very similar. But specifically wanting to talk about one of the things that I know you preach about, which is connecting with yourself before you connect with your spouse, and how that is such an important part in having a healthy, thriving marriage. But first question I want to ask is why is that so important? Because that feels not contradictory. When you sit down and you think about it, it makes sense, but that's not ever our natural impulse, because we wouldn't need so much help with.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other thing I think why it's such a novel concept is that we're not really taught that, right? Growing up, it was you'll meet a man and you'll fall in love and he will make you feel amazing and wonderful and loved and secure and all the things. And then you'll get married and you'll have children and your life will be so complete because you will be married.
Because of those two things. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I love being married to my husband.
Yeah.
But what I didn't know before I jumped into the life of the world of life coaching and then pretty quickly into that, I became a life coach, was that it actually makes your relationship harder when you go to your husband and ask him to fulfill all the emotional needs that we always talk about, right? Yeah. That we all think that he should meet for us, right?
Because he loves me.
Yeah. And it's my Prince Charming. So he should, this is his job. Mm-hmm. And just I think that's the cultural norm, but that it's that exact thing that causes all the trouble and the hurt and the disappointment, because you're asking him to do something that you're not that you're not really even doing yourself.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. I don't think so. Personally, I don't think so. The thing is, it's we think as humans, especially women,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, are all of your listeners women? I'm not sure.
95%.
Yeah.
Some men, but 95%.
Yeah. So I just think as women, we just think we're just so nurturing and loving and wonderful. And we are all of those mm-hmm. things. But I also think that we think we're better at filling the needs of other human beings. We think we're better than we actually are. not that we can't, reach out and do wonderful things. Mm-hmm. We're all doing that all the time. I'm well aware of that. But I just think that things just go a little bit better when you stop trying to fill his needs and expect him to fill yours, and instead mm-hmm. take that back. You fulfill your own needs.
Mm-hmm.
He fulfills his needs. And then together, you come together. And then the only thing you have to do is love each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I heard once, I heard it from Bert Castillo, who's a big life coach. I don't know if she was quoting somebody else. I don't have that great of a memory, but I remember her saying your significant other's only job is to love you, or no, to give you the opportunity to love them.
Yeah.
That's it. And I was
What? No, I know at first.
Love me.
Yeah, at first it feels wrong. Like, no.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But then when you think about it, it's like, oh. But yeah, it like.
Yeah.
It is. Because if we don't. I mean, it's like this whole thing, right? Like, if we. Because if we aren't filled up and we're never, no one ever is going to be able to know all of our needs
right.
and fulfill all of them, especially in the military, because they're, or any of the waiting warrior jobs, because the job is so demanding. Like, I think fulfilling my needs is a 24/7 job, which is why I should do.
Yeah, and I can't understand why my husband isn't here telling me how wonderful and amazing I am. Yeah. And what I noticed before I realized that this was, that there was another option, right? I thought I was really stuck in this like cycle of like, why? And I was even like, my love language is words of affirmation. And like, I just laid it all out for him, right? Like, so like, I can remember. And I'm not against like the love languages. I think it's really interesting and it brings a lot of awareness, but like I did it the way that I thought I was supposed to. Like, here, honey, this is my love language. Mm-hmm. And so you just need to know that you just need to be really careful with the words you say to me, because I really believed that like I was special and like his words had extra power for me because words of affirmation was my love language.
Yeah.
And I like, I thought I made it super clear. Like, and then I remember after that conversation, like, okay, well, we're good. Cause he totally understands what I need. Cause I told it to him and it's super clear. And so then I'm like, okay, so we're good. And then imagine the next time I felt like he didn't come and respond to me in just the right way, according to what I had clearly pointed out to him. Then I was like, I was extra disappointed. I was extra hurt. I took it personally. I made it mean all kinds of things about him and like our relationship and kind of honestly, like what I thought was possible, like the marital happiness that I thought was possible for us. Cause I was like, I laid it out. Like I could not make it more clear. Right.
So that job.
I was like, hello, come on. But the thing, and in my mind, it was like, this is so easy. Like I've made this so easy for him, as though he walks in the door and his first thought should go to like, how can I fill up her cup?
Yeah.
It's a nice thought, but it just isn't based in reality. Right.
Yeah.
So what I learned and now teach and yell from the rooftops as much as possible was like, no. Like he's just there for me to love. And if I, so whatever it was that I thought I needed from him before, personally for me, I can just remember it was this really, when I think of this kind of inaction in my life, I always go to the time when he's a pilot and he was an instructor pilot in Texas. And we had bought our first house and we had our first two babies there. And motherhood was like kicking my butt, right? Like, I was like this. And like, I had always wanted to be a mom. Like that was my thing my whole life. And I just remember like it was not going well. And so it was hard. And I was like, I know, let's open an Etsy shop. So I was like sewing Halloween costumes and selling them on Etsy. And like the kids were just, it was kind of a nightmare. Like they were, it was a mess. So my poor husband would come home from work and like no dinner in sight. Like, no thought of dinner, and the kids like in like saggy diapers that needed to have been changed, you know, hours ago. And I'm like surrounded by like tulle and like, I don't know, pipe cleaners. And I'm like in there making these costumes. And what I always wanted from him, and I think the reason why I was like, oh, an Etsy shop will be the thing, is because I wanted him to come home and be like, and to tell me that I was doing it okay. Because I felt like I was such a failure. Because it didn't look like I pictured it. Like I pictured me loving the kids, and I did love them, but like enjoying them more and having, you know,
toddlerhood and
yeah. And like being able to go to the grocery store on a normal schedule and like dinner, not being so hard, like, and all the things and the house being clean, and it really wasn't. And so I was afraid, like I was pretty sure that things were going poorly. Like I was failing as a mother. And instead of me at that time, like deciding what it like what it is that I wanted to believe about myself, instead of me coming to my own rescue and saying, yeah, this is hard stuff. And guess what? You're doing a great job. These kids know they're loved and they're mm-hmm. fed. Maybe not in the way that you thought they would be, right? Like, hey, it's fine.
Growing materials count.
Like, chicken nuggets are fine. Mm-hmm. Hot dogs are fine. This is all fine. This is kind of a side note. And kind of, I think back, this is so funny. So my poor husband, one night, this will tell you kind of the state I was in. One night, I shouldn't tell this story. I was like, I had no idea what I should make him for dinner or make us, but you know how that is.
Yeah.
And so one night I was like, I put out Ritz crackers and cheese. Mm-hmm. And I told him that was dinner. And he was like, what is happening? I was like, I don't know. I mean, it's, we've got carbs, we've got protein, we got a little bit of fat, like we're covered. I could probably get an apple from the fridge if you want one. And then we're definitely covered. Uh-huh. Yeah. He ate it. He's a very smart man. He ate it. And then I think after that, there were some days he came home and just went to the kitchen and started cooking, which yeah. was also good. But the interesting thing was, even in that time, like in that space that I was in, I couldn't even enjoy the fact that he was coming home and helping me. I like made it mean all kinds of things about myself and
yeah.
more things that I was totally failing. And so really in that time, I wanted him to come home and say, listen, I get it. It's super hard. And I know it looks like a disaster to you, but you're actually doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. That's what I wanted from him. But
yeah,
that's not what he was thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, hey, honey, how was your day? Okay, good. Okay, so tonight I need you to tell me that I'm doing a good job. I need you to tell me that even though this is a disaster, it's a cute disaster and yes. it's amazing, right? Because I wasn't even, I think, that aware of it myself. I was just mm-hmm. feeling terrible a lot. So yeah. now I know that the best thing that I could have done in that moment was been like, he has no idea how hard it is to be a stay-at-home mom. Why do we need him to weigh in on this? Like,
yeah.
let's go inside. Let's ask me what I think. And I think that it's hard. And I think that I'm still showing up day after day after day and I'm doing the thing. Yeah. And maybe I can tell myself that it's okay, that it doesn't look the way that I thought it would look. Yeah. I was totally wrong when I thought it was going to be easy and cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. But no, we're doing it our way and it's great.
Yeah.
And if I had done that then, well, then my husband walks in the door and it's like, hey, we're having a party in here. Come join. It's crazy. We're so glad you're here. We love you so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so me, you know, like living in that space of like feeling bad about myself most of the time made it really hard on our relationship.
Yeah.
Because I felt like he should just know and he should just.
Yeah.
I honestly felt like he should just know and he should just give me all the things that I didn't even really know what I needed at the time.
Well, because we think that and say it toward, like, I mean, I have never said it because that is something that my dad and mom were like, men do not know what's in your head. But I remember in high school, girls saying about yeah. boyfriends. And
they should just know.
Yeah, because he loves me. If he loved yeah. me, he
if
would
he know. Loved me, he would know. If he loved mm-hmm. me, he would say this. If he loved me, he would walk in and yeah. immediately sense what it was that I needed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he did love me and still does. He didn't know that. And he was probably a little bit more confused about where dinner was. There was more confusion than just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the thing is like, when I say connect with yourself first, that's yeah. kind of the idea. It's like, you want to connect with yourself and figure out what it is that you need mm-hmm. and figure out how you can give those things to yourself first. So then you don't have these expectations set up for really failure because yeah. he's just not going to meet him that well. Even if he wants to, he can't even always do it.
Yeah. So how do we do that with like maybe even just taking what so many people know, like with the five love languages? And like Becca said, like that is such a great place to start.
Oh, totally.
Such good self-awareness to have, that is a good thing to do for your spouse and to show them that you do love them. But I do agree with you that we need to be a fulfilled person and connected to ourselves before we can love anybody or anybody can love us. So like with that, like words of affirmation or all those different five love languages, like mm-hmm. the way we expect other people to love us, how do we do that for ourselves? Like, if words of affirmation is your thing, do you look in the mirror and say like, yo, I'm freaking awesome?
I mean, it sounds crazy, but yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like literally, like, hey, and it's weird at first. You got to try it. Everyone who's listening, you have to try this. You're brushing your teeth or something, like you're getting ready in the morning, or uh-huh. you're getting ready for bed or something. Like, hey, you got yeah. it going on, girl. Like, whatever it is, like, honestly, what I like to do sometimes if I feel like I'm a little bit out of touch and if I'm not being super diligent, like it's very easy to slip into old patterns. So it's like, okay, like I was laying in bed the other night and I was like, okay, what do I want him to say to me though? I was struggling with this particular thing and I was just like, he's not responding in the right way. And then I was like, okay, hang on. What do I want him to say to me? Mm-hmm. And I could come up with four things very quickly. I was like, okay, hello. I'm going to say them to myself.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to say them. And even if he did, quite honestly, and I get this with clients a lot, they're like, if he would just say this, I'm like, okay, but be honest. If he walked in the door and said that one thing that you've been dying to hear, what would your reaction be? Mm-hmm. You would be like, what do you want? What do you need? Like, what did you do? Like, what's happening? Like, what alternate universe are we living in?
Or mine has been like, okay, what did they say at work? Like,
exactly. Like, you're just waiting for the other yeah. shoe, right? Yeah.
Okay. So, what are the orders?
Where are you going and how long are you going to be gone for?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Totally. Which is really good to pay attention to that. Cause there's this thing that like, I think a lot of people do this. Like you're just like hung up on this thing or many things, right? If he would just do this for me, if he would just say this, if he would just come home and the one thing. And then if that actually happened, you wanted it so long, you don't even know how to really even accept it if it did come.
Yeah.
Right. So even if at that moment, my husband out of the blue came home and I got these two little babies and we're in it. Like we're in it up to here. Right. And if he came in was like, listen, you're doing amazing. I just want to let you know that I'm noticing and I like it and keep doing it. You're good. I would be like, what is happening? You know what I mean? Even though that was the thing that I thought I needed so yeah. bad, if it actually happened, well, then it would kind of catch me off guard and kind of throw me for a loop. I wouldn't even really be able to enjoy it. I guess that's kind of the thing.
Yeah. It's
kind of the point I'm trying to make, right? Yeah. So all those things, like you could just do them for yourself. I don't have experience. I just have the one love language, right? So I don't know what it's like to want to get gifts, but what's going to keep you from doing all those things with yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like, why not? If you want someone to give you a gift, like Amazon.com, here it comes. It's got my name on it. Like, I'm going to take really good care of me. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing as like, I can say those things to myself. Like I can validate myself if that's what I want. And we think it has to come from someone else.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I love that line of I can take really good care of me.
Yeah.
That like means or can mean so many things to yeah. so many different people. But especially as waiting warriors, especially if you add on that you have kids or even like this, not single. You wouldn't be a waiting warrior if you were single. That would be. But especially the why is this word so hard?
You got it. It's in there.
You're a wife. That word. Wife. Please, guys.
It's hard to say. It's hard to be sometimes. It's fine.
If you are somebody's significant other and you're working like just as women, we do it so often to whoever our people are, like whether it's our family and our kids or work and our friends, we take care of them so much and we put them before ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we just thought that one thought, I'm going to like write it on my mirror, like just take really good care of me. Like I can take really good care of me. And that doesn't mean I'm neglecting everything else.
No.
It just means I'm looking and checking myself out in the mirror and saying,
yeah,
you did a really good job. And I'm speaking nicely to myself, and I'm buying myself the flowers when he's gone, because
Or if he's home, you can still buy yourself the flowers if that's your thing, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people, like, I get pushback on this from people, and they're like, no, no, that doesn't sound right. I'm like, no, no, it is right. They're like, it's a little indulgent, right?
Yeah.
You're just laying around telling yourself how amazing you are. I'm like, well, first of all, yes. Second of all, no, not really. But what I've noticed is that when we don't, so we're going to get into this idea of like validation, same kind of thing as like emotional needs, but like when we're looking to other people to validate us, to like make us feel worthy, to make us feel like we're good. And this is husband or otherwise, this is all the people in our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I actually think the more selfish thing is to look for that from other people. Because what happens is, and I don't know if you're like this, but we have these little stink bugs in my office.
Oh.
And I didn't want it to fall down on me. It's like not a problem. I mean, military wives, like, we've lived in some places with some bugs. Like, these are not a big deal, but I just didn't want it to fall. Anyway. I know, right? Seriously. But what I think, like, I don't know if you can relate to this, but, and maybe it's just a words of affirmation thing, but if I feel like I'm talking to someone and I feel like they're getting ready to say something nice about me, something that's going to make me feel good,
mm-hmm.
I kind of want to like, let that happen. I kind of want to like continue to set that conversation up so that it makes them easy for them to say those things.
Yeah.
And I noticed that about myself, and I was like, that's so interesting. What I can do instead, what all of us can do instead, is like in the morning, take 5 minutes, ask yourself, what it is that you need? What is it that you would love for someone else to say to you? And you can totally just say it to yourself.
Yeah.
And if you take that short bit of time in the morning to give yourself whatever it is that you need that day, like to take really good care of you, it doesn't have to take a long time, but you take that, those few minutes in the morning, and then you're good for the whole day. So then it's actually the opposite of being selfish, because then instead of going through your interactions with people, whether it's your husband or your kids or other people, looking for like these little hits of validation, which I think we're just kind of wired to do that. But if you don't have to do that anymore, if you do it yourself, just for those short few minutes in the morning, then you're free to just like be the best version of you that you want to be and go out and in service and show love and just like be there for other people.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful thing.
And it kind of sounds like when we're trying to egg on for those words of affirmation and those things that we want, it's like we're kind of controlling people around us a little bit.
Yeah.
But if we just give it to ourselves, then we're being selfless, because then we're letting them be whoever they need to
whoever be. They are. Exactly. Yeah. You don't need to like try to manipulate people or control the conversation or like make it go a certain way.
Yeah.
It's just not necessary anymore.
Because especially during the separation, like, if you can't, you know, like, we put so much pressure on the conversations that we can have, and we expect certain things, and because it's so precious and they're not with you, so you want them to love you as much, even more, right?
You're like, this is extra hard, so fill my cup more. I have more needs for you to fill, and now we just have 10 minutes over the phone for you to fill them. Right. So good luck.
Yeah.
Not going to be pretty.
Which we do. And I talk so much on the Lady of Warriors, and I, like, I guess, I don't know if I've been talking a lot about it on Instagram. It's just in the workbook that I've been putting together. Like, we put so much pressure on those conversations that then so often, and or maybe it's just me and I was blowing it for years, but like, we put so much pressure on those conversations that then they get awkward and
they go really very badly.
Yeah. And they go really badly. Whereas, I mean, Austin and I haven't gotten quite to this level. We'll see this deployment. We'll see if I can put this.
There's always, there's always more time to practice.
Right, right. There will always be another opportunity.
Exactly.
The military's real good at providing us growing opportunities.
You can say that again.
But as we've put less pressure on it and expressed our expectations, like that alone makes things put so much less pressure. And now I'm like, oh, well, what happens if I just show up to the conversation completely fulfilled? And not that I don't need him, because he's my person. I want him. There's a reason why we're with these people, right? But if he didn't give me something, that's
what
I love. I know I've gone into some of those conversations, like, I just want to love him and that's what I want to do with this conversation, versus the ones when I'm like, I need you to sing.
Right. Exactly.
So now I'm really curious to see how I can approach these conversations in this upcoming deployment. I guess by the time this airs,
you'll probably be through it. Yeah. You'll be a pro, even more of a pro.
So now, guys, you'll be able to know, this is what I've been doing, my secret behind the scenes experiment. But I'm super curious on how that's going to happen, if I just show up to the conversation, and how much better it will be, because I won't be on eggshells. He won't be feeling like he's walking on eggshells.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much less pressure on both of us.
Yeah, exactly. And where do we even get the idea that there should be expectations, right? I mean, for sure we're told that, but does it even need to be that way? And the other thing that I've noticed is reality and expectation.
Mm-hmm.
The difference that here's the camera. The difference. Easy. Yeah. This is where the pain is when your expectation doesn't meet up with reality. Mm-hmm. This is the way I like to think about it. And this just kind of came to me in the last couple of weeks, because I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, why is it so easy? If my husband is gone, or if he's working late, I know he's not going to be home for bedtime, I can totally do all of it. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I could probably do it more efficient, faster, better, whatever, than if we both do it. If we're up there tag team in the four kids, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, good. He's not even going to be here. But why is it that when he's here and maybe he's in our room laying on the bed reading a book and I'm putting all the kids to bed, I'm like huffing and puffing and slamming things around.
This is so hard. Why is this so hard?
Exactly. This is ridiculous. I cannot believe you expect me to do this. I've been with these children all day long, you know?
Yeah.
I even taught them history, math, you know what I mean? And the difference is just because when I don't expect him to be there to help me, then it's no problem. No. But if he's home, then there is an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the suffering comes in, right? That's where I'm kind of huffing and puffing and slamming things around.
Yeah.
So how does that but that translates not just in bedtime and not just if he's working late or if he's deployed, it's in everything, right? So I think what we can all do is try to drop the expectation and just accept reality for what it is.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. The reality
that means.
Yeah, exactly. Because it does. It kind of goes all over the place. Yeah. But the reality, I'm thinking of what you were saying about phone calls, when he's gone. The last time my husband was gone for a significant amount of time was very difficult. He was gone for a TDY that was, I think it was 6 or 7 months. I'm not really sure. I've talked about this a little bit on Instagram, but we had just moved from overseas to Virginia. We bought this townhouse. We were fixing it up. And I was pulling for that. I was like, we should buy a house and I'll just fix it up and it'd be great. And I had this amazing contractor and we would split jobs. And I was pouring my heart and soul into that house. I was learning how to do things. I was it was amazing. And he was gone and he was at a training and it was just a lot.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have much time, but he did try to call. I think he tried to call every day, but for like 5 minutes, like, hey, I love you. The kid's okay. Are we good? Okay. And I expected him to be all in on this house and to be so excited. And I expected him to be super proud of me. And I expected him to be like, and again, this was before I was in the coaching world. I expected him to like, tell me I was doing amazing things, even though I was going to bed, like exhausted, right? Cause we had three kids at that time. I'm parenting the kids. I'm, you know, food, grocery shopping, laundry, the whole thing. And I'm doing all these projects. So I'm doing the kid thing, getting them to bed after feeding them Ritz crackers and cheese. Who knows? They didn't complain like Michael. Exactly. And I would get them to bed, and then my second shift would start, and I would paint and sand and cut and saw and all the things. And I would stumble into bed at 2 a.m. with like drywall dust in my hair and like in the same painting sweatshirt I've been wearing for 3 days. Right. Yeah. And so I expected him to, again, same kind of thing. Like I needed him to like build me up and tell me it was okay. And I was exhausted, but it was amazing. That was my expectation. And when reality didn't match that, mm-hmm. there was a ton of suffering. And I am amazed at how, and the funny thing is my husband wouldn't even tell the story the same way. I don't think he really realized, but I saw it as like, we were having 5 minute fights every night on the phone, which is so sad, right? It's like, it's so sad. But the only problem was because I was expecting him to be something other than what he was. Mm-hmm. And again, same thing. What does he even know about what I was doing? He had no idea.
Yeah.
I could just as easily say to myself, like, hey, friend, you're doing a great job. And the drywall dust will come out of your hair and it's fine. And we'll take a shower in a few days. And like, it's totally fine. And the kids won't suffer. And like, they can have pizza in front of the TV multiple nights a week and no one will be harmed. Like, it's totally yeah. fine. And so it just brought a lot, all of those expectations I had for him, it just made things so much harder for us to connect and so much harder for me to have the kind of marriage relationship that I wanted to have.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the thing, like drop the expectation. Like why do we need to have expectation for yeah. him? Like, I just need him to be here so I can love him.
Yeah. Which it, like, if you really think about it that way, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. Yeah. Which I know, like, I am not sitting over here, guys, like, oh, well, I've been doing life coaching for a few months, so I
got it
figured out. So just hurry up, okay?
Like, yeah.
No, I'm noticing it's like you work on one tiny sliver, one thought, one circumstance,
yeah.
and you start to feel better about that. And then maybe eventually you'll move on to the next one. So like, I do not want you guys feeling like I'm over here, like we've got this figured out. I just think yeah. it's really, really interesting tool.
Yeah.
To use.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I wouldn't say that I've totally got it down, but yeah. anytime I'm suffering, I'm noticing some, you know, some negative emotion or things aren't going the way I want them to in my marriage, I can always go back to this. Yeah. Okay. What are my expectations here?
Yeah.
And obviously, what are my thoughts here?
Yeah.
Like, what am I thinking? What's really happening here? And the other thing I'll say is, if I could go back in time to drywall dust Becca, who was so tired, working so hard, I would say, I would also want to tell her that it's okay if you don't have a good conversation.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it mean anything. It can just be a not great conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where kind of connecting with yourself is really important. Another really good tool is just like being really intentional about the thoughts that you're thinking.
Yeah.
About yourself, about your marriage, about even like the experience you're having. And it can be, I do this with clients a lot. I'm like, okay. So a lot of times it'll be after they've kind of like unloaded the problems, right?
Right.
I'm like, okay, awesome. I want you to tell me, like, if your life were a movie, if this experience you're telling me about were a movie or a story, like, what's the story? What kind of movie is it? What's the genre? Like, yeah. Is it really sad where everyone just kind of hangs around and it's not very good and then the movie ends? Is it like a drama? Is it a comedy? Like, what is it? And genuinely, you get to decide what it is. And you decide what it is by the thoughts that you allow to be in here. That's what determines the story, right?
Yeah.
Like, I could have easily said, like, when my husband was gone and, like, we were fighting on the phone, I was telling a very sad story. And the story was like, I'm pouring my blood, sweat, and tears into this house, and he's not even supporting me. Yeah. Which the funny thing is like, he was totally supporting me.
Yeah. Right?
Like, that wasn't even true. That was like a complete thought error on my part. But what if I could have just said, like, yeah, things are really hard and I'm kicking butt in all areas. And like, yeah, we don't have great conversations. Doesn't mean a thing because we're in love and we're committed and we're in this thing together. And this is just the part that feels hard.
Yeah.
This is just the part that where we don't get along and it's totally fine. This is just the part where, and you can use that a lot, right? Because even when he was coming home and I had like a bunch of friends around me and I think everyone was just so excited for me because I think they worried about me. So they're just like, okay, good. He's coming home. Maybe she'll be okay. And they're like, are you so excited he's coming home? And I was like, genuinely, I was like, I'm a little sick about it because... And I don't know if you can relate to this, but I was like, I know that we're fine. Like, we're doing this and we're okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not great. And he's gone and I don't love that. And it's really hard, but I know I can do it. What's going to happen when he comes home? And what if then it's really hard and we can't figure it out, right? Like, I'm so, so scared about it. So this is just the part where he's gone and we fight and it's hard. And then when he comes home, this is just the part where we're relearning how to live with each other again. It's not a problem. This is just the part where I have to remind him that, like, children are here. We take care of children. We do things in support of the whole family, right?
Yeah.
And just like, I don't know, just kind of, I just think there's a space to think intentionally in support of what you want, of like the strong marriage and the happiness and the life that you want just in general and allowing things to feel hard and not make that mean that something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
Just that makes sense. I'm kind of all over the place tonight. No,
but just that it means that this is the part where.
Yeah. This is just the part where fill in the blank.
Yeah.
And it actually works really well because there's tons of hard things, right? Mm-hmm. Like my son was like, hey, like we moved here to Virginia and like, we live in kind of a rural place and I'm their teacher, right? He's like, Mom, I don't have any friends. I'm like, I know. And that kind of stinks, right? This is just the part where my son doesn't have friends for a little while. It's not a problem. Yeah. This is just the part where he figures out some things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I like that a lot. Okay. Last question. What is your key to thriving you want to share with your fellow leading
women? Oh, yes. I've been thinking about this. I know what it is. I've been thinking about it. My key to thriving is just like allowing me to feel whatever it is that I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. I went through a time where I had some people close to me who were going through some really hard things. And I was going through less hard things. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember. Maybe it was at the beginning of the pandemic. I can't really remember. It felt hard and I was kind of suffering. But then I would think of the other people that were close to me that were going through, I mean, for sure, harder things than me. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I wanted to, like, I was like upset, I would try to talk myself out of it. Like, well, it's not that bad. Like, it could be worse.
Yeah.
And which wasn't helpful, right? Like that doesn't ease the suffering of someone else, right? Yeah. All it was is me not allowing my feelings, which is, I think, the number one way that we can honor ourselves. Just like, you don't have to talk yourself out of any feeling. Just like, let it be there. It's okay. If your husband is gone or he's working a really hard job or a really hard assignment or things feel hard, it's okay. Like you don't have to think that you should be doing things better. You should be handling things like you see so-and-so down the street doing. No, it's totally fine. This is just the part where it's a little bit hard and I feel sad. So it's fine. It's not a problem. So that's what it is. It's just like allowing emotions and honoring yourself in that way.
I, 100% agree and like that one. That one has, I like started to learn it in not that same language, but learned that lesson a few years ago. And it's a game changer because especially like as military spouses, it's like we're so close to the people around us and it's easy to compare stuff. If somebody's just on a week or weekend training and your kids are wreaking havoc around the house, you want to feel bad and like say that this is hard, but it's like, oh, but my neighbor is on the course of a deployment. Exactly. So I shouldn't be upset. It's like,
Or
you could just let yourself feel.
Right, exactly. And the thing that I know for sure is like whatever that feeling is showing up. If you don't allow it and like let it be there and process it, you just push it away, push it away, push it away. That's when we like lose it. When we blow up, when we are full of resentment for our husband, even though I was just coaching someone this week and she's like, I know it's not him, but I totally resent the fact that he's always gone. Like, that's because you're not allowing, you're not honoring yourself. You're not taking care of yourself. You're not allowing yourself to feel those feelings. We like push them away, push them away, push them away. Yeah. The thing is if you just let them be there and just feel them and process them, then that's when they actually go away, is when you let them be there for a minute. Yeah.
Which again feels counterintuitive.
It totally does. And it feels dangerous. Like I have some experience with just feeling kind of generalized anxiety. And this whole, my whole life, I'm like, no, push it away, push it away. It's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the secret. Let it be there and let it be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine. And that's actually what makes it kind of dissipate. That's the thing. When you push it away, it actually comes on stronger. So.
Yeah.
And that's true for all the emotions. Sadness. Yeah. Anxiety, overwhelm, just let yourself feel it.
Yeah. Love it. Well, thank you so much. I feel well educated. I feel like, again, like I've got something to test out. And I like that because I've said multiple times on The Waiting Warriors, like just because something works for somebody else, I mean, this I think will work for everybody. It's kind of like a big truth that we're just slow to discover as humans, but at least test it out. Like, even if you're like, that guy, I don't think so. I think my husband really should just love me. Like,
his job is to make me feel good.
Yeah.
And maybe like, if that works for you, right on. I find that it causes a lot of unnecessary suffering.
Yeah. But you got it. So if you're like feeling the suffering, you got to at least try it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to test it out with this deployment and specifically showing up to our conversations with my husband, not needing anything from him because I've already taken care of myself. Like,
totally.
I'm really excited for this experiment. And now myself is like, okay, I need my scientific binder and
we're going to write some things down. But also like let yourself in those, like don't feel like you have to go to the conversation like bubbly and happily, like I'm ready to love you. Like,
right.
No, like be there in who, like
whoever
and what you are in that moment. Like, like show up as your true self.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, but still having give it. Cause I think there's a difference between like being sad and needy. Do you know what I mean? Or like,
oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Cause whatever it is that you're feeling, I mean, this is a whole nother subject and I know we're closing, but whatever it is you're feeling, it's only because of what you're thinking in your head. Yeah. So it's not a problem for your husband to solve.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'm frustrated at my kids and I know it's not my kids. I know it's the thoughts that I'm having about my kids.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I need to talk myself out of it. I can still be frustrated. I know that it's me doing it, but I might still want to be frustrated. Or recently my husband was annoying me. I love that guy. And he was like, what is wrong? What is wrong? And I was like, I'm having some thoughts. I need some time to myself because I wasn't ready to drop the thoughts, but I didn't want to like entangle him in it because I knew it wasn't him. It was just what I was thinking. So, so go to your calls with him or whatever, however you'll connect with him. Just as yourself, authentic. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. If somebody wants to connect with you, what is the best way for them to do that, to say hi or learn more?
I think the best way is to just find me on Instagram.
Okay.
So Becca Brown, the coach, is where I'm at.
Cool beans. That's easy to remember. And we'll put those links in the show notes.
Okay.
Or on YouTube, if you're watching, there will be right lower captions, whatever's down by our names. Cool beans. Well, Becca, thank you so much. Winning Warriors, please go say thank you. Think of something. I know something's popped in your head of like, oh, I do that. Or what if I was a little bit better at this? Or how can we try to bring this, not we, because I'm not involved in your marriage.
But all in this together.
Yeah, we're all in this together. But how can you bring this into your relationship to make it a little bit better? Both your relationship with yourself and your relationship with your significant other. Becca, thank you again so much. Winning Warriors, remember, just because it is hard does not mean it has to be miserable. Have a good week, guys. Thanks again, Becca.
Thank you.
Hey, Winning Warriors. If you are in the middle of a deployment, heading into one, or shoot, you're just a military spouse who wants to like get ahead of the deployment game, I have created a free resource just for you. It's a PDF file called 3 Ways to Set Up Your Marriage for a Successful Deployment. It is 3 quick things that you can do with your spouse that I've done with mine that really helped us through our number of separations. If you're watching on YouTube, there will be a link just in the caption. You can go to my website, thewaningwarriors.com, and there's a yellow link with it on the top right, or you can go to subscribepage.com/3, like the number 3, ways to set up your marriage for a successful deployment. Okay? There will be a link in the bio in the show notes if you need it. Go check that out. Please take care of yourself. Take care of your marriage. Be intentional and let me help you through this.